Hello.
What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
How was your drive?
It was okay. It's pretty straight on 57, head south, so.
Yep. Okay. So for recording here, let's start with your history of finding the blog and you and I interacting for like the last 8 years. Because as I've always told people, like, the first real commenters when I put up Alioni.com was Alioni grad, who I wrote about when he passed away a few years ago, and our friend Joe John, Cabana Joe,
I remember that guy.
and you, who were you in Iraq at the time when you first started? I don't even remember.
So
Like, we're talking 09.
I was on active duty, and I was stationed at Fort Bragg.
Okay.
And a good buddy of mine, who you've met a couple times, he's that guy that's a high school football coach. He was like, "Hey, I think you had just written like the 17-point plan, or whatever it was.
Okay, yeah.
That was like one of your first things." And
The
he's like, "Hey,
19-point plan.
19-point. I couldn't remember." He's like, "Hey, you got to check this out. This guy's like, it's all the stuff we're talking about, you know." So I read that, and that's just kind of ever since. I check the blog a few times a day.
And we've interacted. I mean, we've tailgated together. We've, texted during games, everything else.
I
When
have
were
to get the
you?
words out of my body, so I just text
Yeah,
probably too
exactly
much
right. I was
during
the
the
same way.
game, but they
Yeah.
have to get out of me, so.
Yes. What, when were you stationed? Weren't you in Afghanistan for part of that time, or weren't you in,
Yeah, so 2000, so I was in Iraq 05, 06, so just a quick story. So 04, 05, I spent the whole basketball season in Ranger School, essentially. So I actually got a newspaper clipping when we beat Wake Forest. And I'll never forget because I was in the mountain phase in Dahlonega, Georgia. And I got a letter and I opened it up. I'm like, "Oh, this is interesting." I mean, I knew we'd be good,
That's
So,
so crazy. It's such a crazy experience. Now
yeah.
we know every score immediately, and
Yeah.
you're getting a newspaper clipping about our biggest basketball win in
Yeah.
decades,
Yeah. So I didn't actually see a single play until I was graduating Ranger School and I had finished Florida phase. And when you finish Florida phase and you pass, they kind of treat you like a human again. You're not treated like a Ranger student so much.
Sure.
And so you spend a couple days in Florida cleaning equipment because you use all these rubber boats and you got to clean them and you got to clean your weapons and all this other stuff, right? So basically, you just sit around all day kind of doing that for 2 days. And then you go back to Fort Benning and you graduate the course. So anyway, we went into the chow hall in Florida phase and ESPN Sports Center's on. And that's when that kid from Ohio State hit the three to beat us, I think, in the last regular season game. That was the first play I saw that entire season. Was that highlight?
That's
So I
crazy.
grad, yeah, I graduated Ranger School and then saw the Big Ten tournament. I think that was happening like the weekend I graduated. So I think the first game I actually watched was maybe like the Big Ten championship game.
Wow.
I can't remember exactly. It's all kind of fuzzy because this was like 14 years ago or whatever. So anyway, that's so like the most successful season of Illini history. I saw like four games, on TV.
Wow.
And then,
Where
so
were you
then
for Arizona game?
I got to see that one. So I was watching it in a sports bar. Because, I went out with a few of my friends, and that's a long story. I mean, everybody's got the Arizona game story, right? But anyway, so I did that, and then I deployed to Iraq, and I saw us play Rutgers. That was Zook's first year. We beat Rutgers,
Yeah,
and then I
come
deployed to
back, beat
Iraq.
all the
Yeah, and I deployed to Iraq and didn't see another game. And we were bad and kind of expected to be bad. And I got back from Iraq, and the first game I saw when he got back was Juice's comeback against Michigan State. Jay Layman had a big tackle, I think, on like a fourth down or something. We got the ball late because Jay made a great play down near the goal line, I want to say, against Michigan State. And then Juice brings us back in a field goal range and we kick one. And so I didn't deploy again until 2010, and then I deployed in 2010, 2011, and 2012. So that whole, all those seasons are just a blur. And I was in Afghanistan reading the blog and some of the other stuff when both Zook and Weber were fired. I was overseas. And
we hired
Beckman and Gross, and they were not known names, really. I was like, I think Beckman, you had written an article about, like, here's my five candidates or something, and I think Beckman was one of them. I think Pat Marnarduzzi was one of them.
Yep.
But anyway, so when Beckman was hired, I was like, okay, this one makes sense. Like, this is kind of the Mac guy that gets hired, right? Like, he's kind of the next man up out of the Mac. So it made sense when Gross got hired. I was like, who is this guy? Like, I didn't have a clue. So then I got off active duty and moved back to Illinois, and I was all, like, fired up, you know, because now I can get season tickets and so forth and so on. And the last 5 years of Illini football has felt like 20. You know, it's just, it's been a slog. But
I think you
where it's at.
Texted me or something saying, like, you know, last good football we had was 2011.
Yeah, and that team had a six-game losing streak to end the year. So,
I mean, if we could combine maybe the 2013 offense with the 2015 defense, you could have had a pretty good team. But beyond that,
I would say the last 3 years of Beckman's last season, or the last three games. So we beat Penn State, we beat
November,
Northwestern.
Yeah,
like that team competed. There was no offense, but the defense was good enough to win, you know, two out of the three games we needed to win and get into the – but we still really didn't have a Big Ten offense on that team. And that would have been, 14, I guess? Lunt's first year, he gets injured. Bill Cubitt's doing Bill Cubitt stuff.
And the Riley O'Toole year.
And Riley kind of comes in and we totally change everything. And Riley was able to do just enough against Penn State. We got lucky and then really played a good game against Northwestern. Riley really ran the ball well against them. And then Louisiana Tech, they just didn't really have, you know, just couldn't put it together.
I still say if Jahad Ward holds onto that fumble,
we probably win.
Win the bowl game. But you know, that's so minor compared to everything. So let's start with this, because I was thinking about this. Like, your 2011 comment made me comment. Like, this is a very harsh question. When's the last time we didn't have the worst offensive line in the Big Ten?
2010.
Probably.
We ran the ball really well that year.
Yeah.
And 2011, a lot of those guys came back. And that's why I didn't see a lot of the games because I deployed. But, like, I'm still confused how we didn't run the ball better. I mean, was it just LeSure was that good? And Jason Ford couldn't be the feature back. You know, I don't know, but that offensive line, right? They brought back like three guys, did they not?
Yeah, yeah. They should.
That. I mean, Hugh Thornton was an NFL player. He was playing. Was Jack Cornell a senior that year? I think so.
Cornell was a senior. Yes, his last game was the Crab Fight Iron Bowl in 11. So
And
then
another
he went on
NFL
to
guy.
Stuck with the Ravens for a year.
Yeah, you know, a guy that was NFL caliber, you know, maybe a fringe guy, but still, it's pretty good for the Big Ten, you know, when you're in the Big Ten.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is, like, we've had pieces. Like, I thought DeLauro played pretty well last night, but you know, like, you know, we tried Fagan and Palcheski had a rough game and Boyd got beat a couple times. You know, it's just, you know, we've had pieces here and there, but I've just been waiting, like, it feels like we've been waiting forever to put together that consistent, solid reliable offensive line. Like, I watch a Purdue game. I watched, like, you know, on BTN the other night, they do the, you know, the game in 60 minutes or whatever, you know, they take out all everything. So you can, you know, I like watching that to catch up on an opponent or whatever. And Purdue's offensive line looked pretty good. Even against Michigan, like, you know, Michigan dominated them. But still, I'm looking at this offensive line like, man, I feel like we could work with that. So, you know, it's just, I said, every game this year, I just get left with, if we could just get there on the line and find a rotation that works and get some consistency, then maybe we could make some of these things. Now, obviously, quarterback's an issue, and obviously, you know, there's a whole other
thing. I mean, that stems from O-line play, too, though. I mean, I think the hot take of the day is, you know, oh, Chase Crouch is not good. We got to go with Jeff George Jr., et cetera. But, I mean, you know, Chase is dropping back and pretty much getting hit right away. I mean, it's not it's very easy to be critical of Chase right now, and he's not playing well, and he'd probably be the first one to tell you that. But, man, it's hard to play well whenever there's a guy in a jock strap, assuming the ball snapped. You know, that's just not going to nobody's going to play well in those circumstances.
I'm looking over the stats right now. Looks like sacked five times plus three QB hurries. I mean,
yeah, that's not good. And we're not even trying to throw the ball that much. You know, I mean, if you break it down as a percentage of dropbacks, I mean, not good. So,
yeah,
I think, you know, Martin had that podcast with you. I think he was the first guy you called. And, you know, you talked about O-line play and how long it takes. And, you know, we've had umpteen O-line coaches in the last 6 years. And it's one of those things, I think, with the O-line is, you know, there are guys that are very clear in high school that they're going to be studs, and they all and everybody knows it, and they all end up at Michigan or Ohio State or wherever they go, right? Notre Dame, at least in the Midwest. And then everybody else kind of recruits the same kids. You know, I mean, it's all kind of recruiting the same type players that have some limitations or maybe need to grow into their bodies or whatever the case may be. And then at that point, I think it's on the coaching staff to bring it all together. And that's part of the challenge here with Lovey and the whole rebuild is, you know, this is the first time we've had the same offensive line coach in back-to-back years, probably since 2010 and 11. So,
yeah, that's right.
You
so
know,
had, let's go through that. We had Gilbert 10 and 11. Then 12 was Butkus.
Right.
13 was going to be Jim Bridge. But then he left during spring ball to take the Purdue job. And so then it was A.J. Ricker.
Right. And
so
then
was
he
Ricker
left.
Ricker 2 years?
Well, you had Butkus in 12,
was
right?
Ricker was
and
1 year
Ricker
and then went
13.
To Mizzou.
Then he went to Mizzou, and we got Jim Bratton, right? That was the guy's name? Something like that?
Yep. Tom Bratton.
Tom Bratton, okay. And then Ricker came back. And then, obviously, all those guys were
and then
fired.
Back to Butkus.
And then with Butkus. So, yeah, I mean.
So we went, let's see. So 11 to now, we went Gilbert, Butkus, Ricker, Bratton, Ricker, Butkus.
Yeah, it's not good to have that much.
It's like, you know, Madam, I'm Adam, or race car. Was that a palindrome? What's the, reads the same forwards and backwards?
Yeah, something like that, whatever it is.
So.
Yeah. We've done that.
Butkus, Ricker, Bratton, Ricker, Butkus.
Yeah.
only Illinois football.
Yeah, that's us. I mean,
yes.
I think if I can go up to 30,000 feet here and kind of talk about, like, the program in its current state after that game, I think we just don't have a lot of pieces. And you were talking about it on the offensive line. I mean, the pieces have to come together. There's a reason we're playing 20 freshmen or however many we're playing. And I don't think that's
last night
the coach
was,
years. I mean,
last night was 19 true
and
7 redshirt freshmen.
Yeah, and the JUCO. I think your comment was, you know, 20 guys whether you played last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't excuse the coaches because you still got to get something out of the guys you got. I mean, you can't just – you know, rinse your hands and walk away. You know, you still got to try to get something out of those guys, but, you know, the pieces aren't all there, and until it all comes together, if it all comes together, you know, I don't really know what we have. I thought McGee called a better game. I think we tried to do some stuff consistently, which I was really hoping to see. You know, let's try to pick something and stick with it. And that was that inside zone, that little inside zone run that Epstein broke that touchdown against USF. We stuck with that, you know, pretty early in the game. And then in the second half, it got away from Garrick because, you know, we were trying to throw drawback passes to try to get back in the game because we're down 21-6. And we just, you know, we can't trail anybody and have any chance of winning because we can't throw. You know, and that offensively, we were just kind of discombobulated in the second half because we're trying to do stuff we can't do. But I thought, you know, McGee called an okay game. We just have to, you know, we got to keep adding pieces. And
there's no consistency is the thing that like, you know, we get to the 5 and we stall out twice.
Yeah.
We get to the 30 and we get sacked out of field goal range twice, you know. It's like, that's with a more consistent team, with maybe a more veteran team, I think they scored 20 last night. You're still shut down.
Yeah,
you're still not doing well, but you put together enough drives to you get to the 5, you punch it in those two times, and you get to the 30 and kick a long field goal. Maybe you score 17 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's 6 points because you just keep making mistakes. It's go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's even that's where you see the talent issue, because when you get in the red zone, you know, the field compresses, and so you got a lot more bodies defending a lot less space, right? And at that point, that's where you've got to have the offensive line that can move guys off the ball. You know, if they can't move guys off the ball, that's going to show up in the red zone more than anywhere. And you've got to have a quarterback that can throw it in a tight spaces in the red zone, because it's all tight spaces in the red zone. And that, you know, love Chase Crouch, awesome competitor. It's not really what he does. And, you know, I think that's where you see some of that talent, you know, and you can call it mistakes or you can call it talent, you know, you can call it whatever you want, but I think we've seen enough to know this team's not going to be very good in the red zone, because it's just not there. You know, we just don't have it. And, I mean, even at running back, you know, Mike Epstein, living to death, not the biggest dude in the world, you know.
Yep.
So then we go to Ravon Bonner down there. You know, well, he's a true freshman too. I mean, okay, what do you think? He's trying to run the ball, right, and you know he's going to have to run over a linebacker, right? I mean, you know that in the Big Ten. You're going to have to make contact. Well, what is Ravon Bonner's squat as an 18-year-old who's never spent any time in the program?
Right.
You know, I mean,
he's
got to get in the weight room. You know, that stuff has to happen so that when he hits the kid from Nebraska who's been in the gym squatting, you know, 500 pounds, and Ravon Bonner, I don't know what his weight room program was like in Ohio, but – you know, I'm sure it's not a Big Ten weight room program. You know, that stuff just takes time, you know, and I'm actually a little more optimistic probably than most people that watch that game, because I saw a lot of stuff and I was like, we'll get older and we'll get better at that, you know? So we'll see.
You know, that one play, the Carmoni Green catch, like the speed on the edge to beat a Big Ten corner and, you know, without safety help, he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see these little flashes of like, okay, we haven't seen that kind of speed, that kind of burst in a while. You watch Smalling and you watch Green, and it's like, okay, this is a different kind of athlete than we saw with, I mean, no disrespect, but like, you know, we were running with, you know, Spencer Harris and, you know, just a different kind of taller. Lovey wants to go with the quicker, faster, you know, speed guy. Maybe he's not going to be as good a blocker as Spencer Harris was, but, you know, you've got speed all over the field and you've got dangerous weapons. So you see these little flashes like, oh, man, that is a special athlete right there. But then, you know, then you see a sack and then you see, you know.
That's a young team. You know, that's...
You see Palcheski falling backwards and what should be a 6-yard run turned into a 2-yard loss, and it just happens, and it's part of it. Then you just slowly wait and stay patient and hope all the pieces come together.
Right. Yep. I think that's so. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I agree that the offensive line play will be interested to see. I mean, typically you kind of want the old world-weary coach, you know, in there, and we've kind of gone the other way with a real young guy trying to make his way, relatively speaking, as an O-line coach. So I hope, you know, we can keep putting the pieces together and getting the size and stuff that we need. And, you know, we'll see. I don't know. You know, I think it's TBD, you know, how this whole thing turns out. There's no guarantee.
I think one thing that bothers me a little bit is continuing to shuffle the line.
Yeah.
See, I'm a guy who's like, give me 20 starts of the same five guys next to each other, and by the 20th mm-hmm. game, I don't care their talent level, they're going to be a pretty good offensive line because they know what the other guy's doing, and, you know, they just work as a unit. You know, mm-hmm. here we're just like, this was the let's give Jordan Fagan a shot game, and we had Meganson a tackle first game, and then Meganson was a guard, and Kyle Shield comes in the third game, and, you know, or second game and third, and, you know, I know they have had injuries and Kramer's out, but, like, I just want to see some, like, pick five here on forward, and for the last eight games, let's just run with those five guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe spell them a little bit here and there, but let's find a combination, and you know, I guess I get a little hesitant on all, you know, who we've seen Cerny in there. And Cerny was a tight end last night. You know, we've seen, first game Zeke Martin started. You know,
mm-hmm.
we've seen
Adam Solomon
all these
started.
Yeah, we've seen Solomon in there. We've seen, you know, we played 11 offensive linemen this year or something like that. So I'd love to just finally settle on something and run with it. I talked to Martin last night while I was driving home, and we kind of talked about, well, what if next week you put Kramer back in if he's healthy, and you put Allegretti back at guard where he, I think, more of a force, and
mm-hmm.
you just run with Boyd, Palcho, Kramer, Allegretti, DeLauro. I'd like to see that for a while. I wouldn't mind it. You know, I don't know where Meganson fits into that, but I'd like to just see something, you know, consistent.
Yeah, I think there's an element going on the offensive side of the ball where they are desperately trying to find something that works, and they're trying to find something. And I was pretty critical of McGee at times earlier in the season, and you have to acknowledge, like, he's just trying to find a play on the play sheet that's going to work. You know, I mean, at some level, I think that's what they're trying to do with the O-line. And I think that may be the fact that they're kind of conceding that this is still part of the rebuild this season. And they're just trying to see who can play more than they're worried about, you know, results. And I, if that's the approach they're taking, I don't disagree. Because, I mean, we all saw what this year was going to be like when you just look at the roster back in July or whatever. I mean, we didn't even have a spring game. Like, and I try to tell people that.
Right.
You know, with the frustration of the, you know, when you get frustrated, I get frustrated. But we didn't play a spring game because we didn't even have enough guys to play one. Like, this is a total rebuild. It is a total rebuild. And
one spring practice I attended, there were 39 players participating.
Yeah.
It
I mean, high
like,
schools have more than that.
Yes,
you know?
It looked like a 1A high school team in the middle of nowhere that's a co-op with three other high schools.
Yeah,
they're busting in
some
freshman kids just to fill out the roster. You know,
it's easy to get mad and be frustrated and say, you know, oh, Garrett McGee makes whatever $650,000. He's got to figure it out. Blah blah blah. And that I'm not saying that criticism is invalid, but at the same time, you know, we didn't play a spring game. You know, like that tells you where our program is at right now, and we just have to figure it out, and it's going to take some time. So I agree with what you and Martin are saying. You know, if we can run that five that you just listed out there, I'd love to see it. But I think they're still, you know, they're still playing. Now I think that's where year three becomes really, really important, because all that stuff has to be settled. That has to be hashed out this year. You know, we cannot be doing that. If we're doing that next year, like,
oh, totally
I'm pretty disappointed.
Totally agree.
But I still think in year two, when you don't even have a spring game, you know, the previous off season, because you don't have enough players on the roster, I mean, you know, it's not going to go great for you.
We literally held an on-campus tryout after the first two practices of spring ball, just to find wide receivers so they could run plays.
Yeah, I mean, Shernard Davis was playing quarterback, right, or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Who is now 1-for-1 in his passing career, I should note, thanks to the diving hands of Bobby Walker.
Yeah, that was a nice little wrinkle there.
Yeah. By the way, I didn't get that whole series. There was no Dudek. They kept sending Austin Roberts out of the backfield to be the widest part of the field.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that whole. I mean, they drove pretty well and they got to the five and you know stalled and had to kick a field goal. I guess I shouldn't complain, but it was just a weird personnel set with a lot of Trenard Davis. I guess they were maybe setting up that play, but there's a lot of Davis. It was basically Davis, Turner, and Austin Roberts were the wide receivers in most of those sets. It was just weird.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, if we can talk a little X's and O's here, but to me, that kind of is the stuff that it gets a little frustrating watching it as a fan. Is that's when you start to wonder, like, what is our identity? You know what?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, okay, there's some gadget stuff, and I'm not saying should or shouldn't have it, but that's where it begins to become a little frustrating. We're like, well, why aren't our best players on the field? Why aren't our best players getting the ball? Why are we throwing a million different little gadgets out there instead of just trying to be good at a couple things? It worked. You know, like you said, we moved the ball some. But I would like to see us have more of an identity where we run maybe fewer formations, you know, and just try to be good at a couple key things. And if we can do that, I'd be, you know, pretty happy, even if we don't win a game the rest of the way. And we may not win a game the rest of the way, you know. I think we will, just because, you know, we'll find a way, kind of like Michigan State last year, you know. But, you know, or we'll, by the time we get to Indiana, their quarterback will be hurt or, you know, stuff like that just kind of happens.
Right. Yeah, because Michigan State was down to their third string last year, I think.
We knocked their starter out. And he was actually the first string guy, but the second string guy was also hurt. And I think that's when they brought the third string guy. So he, you know, was the de facto quarterback for the second half of that game.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, he throws a beautiful touchdown pass with, like, 2 minutes to play.
Of course.
And Jeff George brings us back. But, yeah, I mean, something like that's probably going to happen along the way where we're going to just kind of, you know, fall into one. But, you know, it's just kind of where we're at, and it's just a total rebuild. It's frustrating, but you got to have the patience.
Yeah, I think you're right that this is – I mean, they're still experimenting, which is probably okay. You're right.
For this year,
from
I
now,
can live
this year.
Yeah.
If because you bring everybody back.
I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I think they probably are. I mean, I think they're just trying to find something that works, and they're doing anything they can to find it. So.
Yep. I like that they unleashed Crouch's legs a little more last night.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was maybe intentional, that they were waiting to run a lot of that stuff until Big Ten season. Make sure the shoulder's responding well. Make sure he's 100% healthy before, you know, having him out there rumbling, bumbling. But, you know, I liked seeing that. I think you could build around that. But, you know, Ricky Smalling had that one guy on the pass to the sideline. The linebacker bit on the inside route. So Smalling was basically one-on-one with that corner with the end zone in his eye. And when Crouch sailed it over his head, did you see Smalling get upset? Like he was like,
no. He
was like, I had this guy. Like, all I had, it was one move and I was gone. Safety slid inside, so it was my guy, and I have the speed to beat him and go. And then, you know, the pass is 7 feet over his head. So, you know, it's just if Chase could just zero in on things like that, I think, you know, just even if you just get it in the general area of the receiver, I don't care if you're not hitting him in stride, just get the ball in his hands and let these receivers do something. You know, it's not that much to ask. You're not asking for 330 yards passing or anything else, or, you know, some big high-powered passing offense. We just can't handle negative plays, and just can't handle, you know, we don't have the offensive line to deal with second and 11 or third and 10 or whatever. You know, it just has to be consistent.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we need to really try to run the ball on first and second down, you know, and because if we can get into third and three, then they have to respect Chase's ability to run, and that's going to open some things up. If we're in third and 11, we're in real bad. I mean, no team wants to be in third and 11, right? But, like, especially us.
Yeah, because, but what do we do? Because,
They'll
sit and spy the quarterback because they you know, they all know our third and 11 is maybe he can scramble for it. So they'll have a spy, and they can get away with that. They can get away with a spy because they know they don't have to drop, like, you know, seven into zone. They can drop six into a zone and probably confuse us enough. So, you know, what do you do? You've got to have that accurate pass, or you've got to have, you know, yeah, we're just so limited.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought we did some okay stuff last night trying to throw the ball short to the sideline. You know, he's got to execute it. He didn't, you know, there was a couple that he really missed on that type of throw, but, you know, he's just got to play better. I mean, the whole team has got to play better, but it's just not there. I mean, in my opinion, it's not there, and it better be there next year, but I'm okay with this year kind of looking like this because we're playing 20 freshmen, you know? Yep. but that runs out year three. I think I just saw the play. I'm actually replaying the game right now. When you called, I was kind of watching because I have a terrible seat in the horseshoe, so I don't get a great look at a lot of stuff. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I think there's just not a lot there, and maybe that's – if someone wants to say that's an excuse, okay, that's fine. But, you know, year three, we really need to take a big step forward because it's probably not going to happen this year.
Yep, totally agree. And, you know, positives, Blake Hayes, you know.
Oh, man, how good is he?
Up at the seven, you know, he's a weapon, and directional punting, and, you know, it's a true freshman out there doing exactly what you're asking of him. Only going to boom the boomers a little longer. So,
We played okay defensively. I mean, we gave up three touchdown drives in the first half, and that was bad. But in the second half, we played a little better. And the one thing that has impressed me from Lovie and the staff in 16 games, I think I've seen us blow a coverage one time for a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, we're generally where we need to be. Now, last night they had a couple long catch and runs. On the first one, Jalen Dunlap flat fell down. He had the guy, and he just fell. I mean, he just falls to the turf, and the guy's running free. You know, stuff happens. But, you know, our defensive backs play with pretty good fundamentals. And even though we've got three or four freshmen out there at any given time, you know, we don't get beat over the top. And we make people earn it down the field. We get better, we get older, you know, we start getting off the field on third down. I think there's a lot of positives defensively, but it's like we've talked about before, and you've written about it on your blog a lot, like, you know how to do this as an Illini fan, right? Like,
yep.
You kind of watch for these little freshmen, and you watch for these glimmers, and, and you know, we'll see. You know, and I tell people all the time, when you talk about that 07 Rose Bowl team and that 06 or the 06 team, which was really pretty competitive for only winning two games. Ron Turner recruited pretty well. And a lot of people are like, oh, Ron Turner was terrible at recruiting. You know, that's kind of the narrative. Like, that Rose Bowl team and that 2016 had a lot of players on it that Ron Turner recruited. You know, that those teams Zook inherited, I think, were in a little better shape than people kind of think. You know, when you look at guys, I mean, Martin's an example, but, you know, you had Pierre Thomas. Now, you know, he was gone by the 2017 team, but, you know, you had some guys that could play. You had some linemen that could play. Those teams in 2006 and 2007, because I thought, well, maybe that's a comp you know, that 06 team is maybe comparable to this year's team is kind of what I thought before the year. No, this team isn't even close to that prepared. I mean, and it's just, I think, you know, Illini fans, we know how to do this. You know, you're going to have to turn your brain off for one more year and, you know, kind of not, you know, and you just got to live with it, I think, for another year. And then hopefully in year three, we can be a little better, but even year three, how big of a step do we take with a bunch of sophomores? I mean, it's still, you know, who's number 91 for us? The defensive lineman?
Jamal Woods, yeah.
Okay. I knew it was one of the – I thought that's who it was. I wasn't sure. You know, I watched him run out there last night, and I'm like, I think I weigh more than that kid does. We're running him out there
playing defensive tackle. Yeah.
You know, so even after a full offseason in the weight room, he's not going to be – fully ready even next year. I mean, it's just going to take time to get these guys where we want them and where they need to be to play at in the Big Ten level.
Yep. But it's so hard. You know, it's like, hey, us college football fans, we're going to have a party. Illinois, you go sit over there in the corner and just wait. Watch our party. And you can watch us celebrate and have fun, but you can't participate yet, so just stay over there and be patient, you know.
Yeah,
and it's so frustrating, and you long for it, but you know, let's keep doing this. I'm in support of playing all the freshmen. Let's stay on this road, and when October 12, 2019 gets here and we beat Michigan in a night game and I push past security and run out on the field like a maniac, then you know, all the demons of 2000 will be exercised, and life will return to where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I said, man, it's like the last 5 years of Illini football felt like 20. I mean, we've just been in what seems like a never-ending rebuild. And I think if you're looking for kind of the caretaker of a program, I think he's a good one, you know. But we got to – We got to make it happen, right? You got to coach them, and it happens every day, and it happens in the gym and the weight room, and you know you just got to stay on them. But there's a lot to be hopeful for with all the freshmen, and I think that's really what people need to worry about, and not so much like should it be Chase Crouch or Jeff George Jr. You know, like that's not like the magic, you know that. We can make that change, and maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't, I don't know, but that's not going to really turn our fortunes around. You know, this thing is not going to be turned around until 2018, maybe, you know, but more likely not even then, because we're still, you know, we're probably starting two more freshmen on the offensive line next year. You know what I mean? It's very possible that happens. And Calvin Avery shows up next year as a four-star defensive tackle, and he might start as a freshman. You know, so we might have another defensive lineman who's a freshman starting, and, you know, who's the quarterback going to be? Because we've got a few recruits coming in, and you know, I mean, we're still not going to be out of the woods next year either. There's still going to be a lot of growing and a lot of learning and a lot of young guys out there. But going back to what you said on your From the Stands, I think it was, you talked about Matt Hinton from, I think, whatever it is, SB Nation, and I saw that tweet he had about how Illinois is like the worst Power 5 team by a good by however he measures.
Recruiting plus experience plus.
Yeah, like he had us ranked below Ball State by a couple spots, I remember, like 114th in the country or something. But, I mean, that's I think that's a more accurate measure of where we're at. And I was guilty of, after the Western Kentucky game, thinking, oh my gosh, you know, maybe we got something here.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of do defensively, you know, we can get after some people, but not when they're Big Ten linemen. And I think that was the thing, is the first 2 weeks against Ball State and Western Kentucky, you know, Isaiah Gay, Bobby Roundtree, we're all excited. Well, they're playing non-FBS non-Power 5 opponents, you know, and now we play a Big Ten offensive line, and it's like Isaiah Gay disappears, and it's like, oh yeah, he's, you know, just turned 18, and he's playing, a redshirt or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, yep. From Nebraska, and it's like, oh yeah, that's right, I forgot about that. So it's just, I think last night was a big, in some ways kind of a wake up call of how far we still have to go.
Yep. And honestly, like if we're talking about 2019, if we're talking about that, you know, the Michigan game that I put in my Twitter bio, you know, my called shot or whatever. Like, I feel really good about the secondary in that game. I feel great about the defensive line in that game. I think the offensive line will come around. I think we'll have the receivers and the backs we need. I simply focus on who's the quarterback in that game.
Yeah.
And who are the linebackers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're starting three juniors at linebacker right now, but I'm not sure who replaces them after 2018. You know, we really haven't recruited much at that position. So, I'm like, okay, we are four of the six position groups. I feel really good that we're going to be solid in the future, like really good. Defensive line, secondary, I think we're going to be great, like great, great. But linebacker and quarterback, 2019, I haven't the slightest clue right now.
Yeah. Well, I would say linebacker is a pretty fungible position. I mean, that if you have a great defensive line, you're going to have great linebackers because that defensive line is going to eat double teams and those linebackers are going to run free. You know, like I think that's probably not a huge problem. We'll probably figure that out. But quarterback, yeah. I mean, you got to have somebody that can play that position. And I think that's, you know, it's TBD. I don't know if that person that starts that game is currently on the roster. You know, I'd almost guarantee he's not. So, you know, is it one of these kids we've recruited? Is it a kid who's currently a junior in high school? I mean, I don't know. I agree. You know, we're going to have a quarterback. Is it a fifth-year transfer? I mean, I don't think that's the worst idea in the world, and you see that some at that position specifically, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah, I've been talking about that. Of like, you go to Texas A&M had those three quarterback recruits, you know, 2 years ago or whatever. And so, you know, Jared Hill bails out and goes to TCU or what, you know, like, can you mine one of the top programs who's brought in two four-star quarterbacks every year and find some guy who, you know, wants to get out after this year, he sits in 18 and then he can be our starter in 19. You know what? My wife is out of town today. I just figured out my project for this afternoon. I am going to mine
like
every roster and look for that red shirt freshman who isn't playing and is realizing he's not going to play because they just recruited another five-star and is looking for his starting spot in 2019 after a sit-up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you've got to turn over every rock when you're in Illinois.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's they're not going to be lined up around the block. You got to go find them. So,
we found Blake Hayes in Australia. Maybe we can find
them. I mean, you know what's crazy is Oregon's even gone down to the 1AA ranks and brought kids up.
Right.
And I mean, in Oregon, now they were bad last year, but the year before that when they had the kid that played at Eastern Washington, I think his last name was Adams. He's a little guy. But, I mean, that guy balled out. You know, I mean, you can find them. You just, you know, it wouldn't hurt if you could find somewhere in that route, maybe a JUCO. I mean, it could go that way. I don't know. I mean, we'll find out a lot about 2019 between December 1st and signing day. You know, that 2 month window where we're recruiting, we're going to hear a lot of names that we probably haven't even heard yet. And, you know, I don't know. You know, it's all part of it, and Lovie has to figure it out. And, you know, that's why we pay him the big bucks. You know, he's got to find a way. I know I keep saying that, but right now we're so far away that it's still far on the horizon before this program is competing at a Big Ten level. Maybe next year, you know. But, man, we're going to play a lot of sophomores and freshmen next year too. You know, so instead of playing 18-year-olds, we're playing 19-year-olds. But, you know, eventually that does come home. You know, in 2019 when Isaiah Gay and Bobby Rountree have 37 starts between them to start the season, you know, or 35 starts, you know, we're going to be pretty salty. But that's a couple years from now, and gird your loins. That's what we do. That's what we can do. So.
Yep. All right, man. Well, I got to get going. So, thank you for talking to me, and we'll
yeah. Thanks for having me.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll. It's fun to watch the freshmen. I think it's exciting. Just got to keep, you know, got to keep chopping wood.
Keep on keeping on. All right, Jim. We'll talk to you later.